It'll be a blessing to you this morning. Here we go.
And it's yet awaiting me. My life's not over. A new beginning's just begun. I have a hope. I have this hope. God has a plan. It's not to harm me, but it's to prosper me. And to hear me when I call, He intercedes for me. Working all things for my good, though trials may come. I have this hope. I will yet praise Him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up and give Him glory. My life, He takes my darkness and He turns it into night. I will yet praise Him, my Lord, my God. My God is for me. He's not against me. So tell me whom then, tell me whom then shall I fear? He has prepared for me great works, He'll help me to complete. I have a hope. Mercy, they're gonna follow me, and I'll forever dwell in the house of my great King. No eye has ever seen. All He's bearing there for me, though trials may come. I have this hope. I will yet praise Him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up and give Him glory with my life. He takes my darkness and He turns it into night. I will yet praise Him, my Lord, my God. I will yet praise Him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up and give Him glory with my life. He takes my darkness and He turns it into night. I will yet praise Him, my Lord, my God. There's still hope for me today. God is in control. We believe that His children will not be forsaken. God is in control. We will choose to remember and never be shaken. There is no power above or beside Him, we know. Oh. In control. He has never let you down. Why start to worry now? Why start to worry now? He is still the Lord who we see, and He is still the loving Father watching over you and me. God is in control. We believe that His children will not be forsaken. God is in control. We will choose to remember and never be shaken. There is no power above or beside Him, we know. Oh, God is in control. Oh, God is in control. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But when things change and you're down in the gifts to God in the night. When faith is really put to the test, and the God on the mountain is the God in the valley, when things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the
Join me in a word of prayer, please. Lord, we love you today, and God, we're so grateful and thankful for your blessings upon us. And God, we're so grateful that we have a hope in you, and we're so grateful that you are in control. Lord, no matter how circumstances may appear to us, we know that they have not gotten out of your hand, Heavenly Father. And God, we're so glad that you are the same God on the mountain that you are in the valley, Heavenly Father. And God, today I pray that you would encourage hearts, that you would strengthen spirits today, that you would uplift your people today on this Lord's Day. God, I pray that you would be with our leaders of our nation. I pray that you would be with our healthcare workers. God, I once again pray for those that have been laid off from their jobs. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would draw closer to you and trust you and have faith in you, Heavenly Father. God, I pray that you'd be with our pastor as he comes and he opens the word of God and preaches to us today. God, I pray that you'd use him in a mighty way today to touch our hearts and our spirits. God, we love you and we thank you for all the things that you do for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, my soul, worship His holy name, sing like never before, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Worship your holy name. is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to
started. And Father, I thank you for bringing us to the house of God this morning, those of us who are able to be here. And Father, for those that are in their own homes and watching from wherever they may be, I pray your blessings upon them. We pray, God, that the word that's said this morning is your word and not mine. Father, that you would anoint me with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, that you would teach your children and that you would challenge those who are not your children, Lord, to recognize their need for your salvation. Father, we pray for those who are hurting. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll come alongside the people that are in harm's way, the medical health care personnel. Father, those people in the hot spots across our nation, Lord, in the major cities, especially New York. Father, our hearts go out to the suffering people there. We pray your mercy. We ask, God, for your forgiveness. Lord, as a nation, Lord, for our having not depended on you more in the past, for our not having lifted you up and having faith in you for the many years in the past, Lord. And perhaps now, Father, we can return to you and have our hearts and our minds and our treasures directed towards you and your kingdom rather than towards our own things. Father, we ask your blessings this morning over your people. And we want to bless you, Father. We want to worship you. We want to lift our hearts and minds to you. We want to bow before you at the end of this service. And Lord, to show you that you're worthy of our praise, you're worthy of our worship, you're worthy, Lord, of our attendance this morning and our time together, though we're not assembled, Lord, that our hearts are collectively turned towards you. And Father, for the next few moments, I ask for your help, I ask your blessings now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 112, or Psalms 112. If you're watching from the camera, I know I regret that the camera is at an angle that is above me because I have already been brought to my attention for those that are watching that I am losing my hair. And I hope you walk away from here with more than Brother Chris is losing his hair. I still am blessed with an incredible physique, and that can be observed as well from your places at home. Glad you're here this morning. We're in Psalms 112. As the events unfold from day to day relating to the coronavirus, we keep hearing the word unprecedented. Unprecedented means never done before or never known before. I've often used the word myself to describe this situation, and in many ways the details relating to this crisis, unprecedented is a very good description of it. However, in the big scheme of things, and in a very general sense, it's really not unprecedented at all. Plagues and pestilences have run rampant throughout nations before, throughout the world. Economies have collapsed many times before. Nations have been brought very low over the course of time many times before. It's not happened to us yet, but it certainly has in the past. Societies have been made destitute before. Wealthy populations have been driven to poverty before. And so in reality, it's not unprecedented. And it's as Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9 says, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing really that is unprecedented in this world. Now, this is new to you and I in many respects, in that we have not gone through this before. But I want to tell you something that is unprecedented. I want to tell you something that truly has no precedence whatsoever. Something that's never been done before. Something that's never been known before. And it's this: Jesus Christ has never been taken off His throne. God the Father has never lost sight of His children. The Holy Spirit of God has never lost His ability to comfort and to strengthen. The Word of God has never ceased to be true. It hasn't happened before. There is no precedence. It hasn't happened before, and it will not happen now. So the children of God, no matter how evil the day, no matter how trying the times, no matter how crazy the circumstances, the child of God can know that they're secure in their Father. Now, with that being said, we're in Psalms 112, and we're going to read verse 1. It starts out, "Praise ye the Lord." First of all, I hope you're doing that. It helps get our eyes off ourselves when we praise the Lord. I hope you daily praise the Lord. It goes on to say, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in His commandments." Blessed is a familiar word to us. It means to be made happy. We all want to be happy, do we not? Especially at times like this when the world seems to be falling apart around us. We're really looking for some happiness. We're wanting to be blessed. And it can happen, and it does happen. I want you to notice the qualifications for this being blessed or being made happy. It says this, it says, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in His commandments." First of all, we have to fear the Lord if we want to be blessed. And of course, the fear of the Lord begins with salvation. No person can have true fear of the Lord or have a true fear of God without first having called upon His Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. But once we are saved, a reverence for God should be developed in our life. A respect, a sense of awe should be felt by every believer when it comes to God. We should hold Him in very high esteem, because we know who He is and we know what He's capable of, and He is worthy of being feared and revered. The lost person doesn't fear God because the lost person doesn't know God. And if a saved person doesn't fear God, then that means they don't know God well enough. Because to know God is to know that He can do anything. He's the God of the Bible, and with the sound of His voice, the heavens can be rolled up like a scroll, and it'll happen someday. So if you don't know God, and you don't know His power, you need to know, because He might make a point to let you know. I believe with every fiber of my being, that's what he's doing to our nation and many nations today. He's revealing his power. He's revealing who he is. He's revealing the ability to bring us to our knees and to look to him and to set our eyes on eternal things rather than temporal things. So we better fear him, and to fear him is to be blessed. The second thing we see in this verse is we must delight in his word. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Of course, his commandments are his word, this book. To delight in his word is to take pleasure in his word, to favor his word, to be pleased to do his word. 1 John chapter 5 verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that they may keep his command, they may keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." You know what that's saying? Not only do we obey God, but we like obeying God. That's what it is to delight in his word. How can we say that we love God's word if we never read it? How can we say that we love God's word if we never go and hear it taught or hear it preached? How can we say that we love the Bible if we refuse to obey it and apply it to our lives? We can't. That would be like saying that we love the Dallas Cowboys, but we never watch them play. We love the Dallas Cowboys, but we don't keep up with their progress through a season. We don't know who their quarterback is. We don't know what kind of defense they run. We just don't know. It would be ridiculous. That would just be lip service and no, actually not delighting in the Dallas Cowboys. So we must fear the Lord and love his word if we're going to be blessed. Now, I want to lead you to a specific benefit that comes to those who fear the Lord and who delight in his word. And we're going to skip over across the page to verse 7. I want you to notice the first part of that verse. It says he, that is the person that fears the Lord and delights in his word, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Do you know what evil tidings are? Or you know what tidings are? It means the news. In Hebrew vernacular, when you and I turn on Fox News or the morning show or whatever it is, we're getting the tidings, if you will, from a Hebrew standpoint. Scripture speaks of glad tidings. If you were to read in Luke chapter 2, the angels said there were glad tidings regarding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was good news, is what it was saying. Man, it's been a while since we've heard any good news, hasn't it? Every day seems to be more and more bleak as we turn on the TV. Each day, the numbers are reported. Numbers of people who have contracted the disease. Numbers of people who have died, both statewide, locally, nationwide, and then worldwide. We get the numbers. Unemployment numbers are up. Even the numbers of divorces are up. I can see that. My wife is watching at home. But you think about it. Either the divorce rate goes up or the murder rate does, one or the other. You put some families in the same house 24/7 and something bad's going to happen one way or another. Some have suggested that there was going to be a baby boom as a result of this quarantine. And I beg to differ. I believe there's going to be a greater number of missing children. You can hear the neighbor. You know, the first day of quarantine, I heard laughter. The second day, I heard shouting and cussing. And the third day, it went silent. And it's been that way ever since. But the numbers are up. Numbers of divorce is up by 7%. Now, I'm being silly about those things, but the news is bad. The tidings that we see each time, and I'm not one to stick my head in the sand. I do get enough news through the day to kind of know where we are. Beyond that, I don't feed on it because it's just not good for my mind. But the news is not good. The tidings are not good. And our text refers to it as evil tidings. Bad news. Distressing. Unfavorable. Miserable. Grievous news. That's what we're hearing right now. But I want you to notice what verse 7 declares about those who fear God and delight in his word. It says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. God's children should not be afraid of the bad news. I want you to notice something in verse 1 and in verse 7. In verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord." That word "feareth" is the exact same Hebrew word that is rendered "afraid" in verse 7. You see, a godly person fears God but doesn't fear problems. Everything about our God captures our mind and our emotions. When we're fearing God, everything about Him captures our mind and our emotions, and He's held Him in the highest importance and has the highest amount of credibility. But everything about the evil tidings is not allowed to capture our mind and our emotions and holds little importance and little credence. I love that. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, what bad news or evil tidings can be against us? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." God is saying, don't get all shook up. I'm on this. I've got it in control. So we are not to be fearful people. But notice what else the text says of the God-fearing person. In verse 7, it says his heart is fixed. Now, when the Bible speaks of a person's heart, it's a reference to his inner being, his mind, his emotions, his understandings, the whole array of our feelings. And notice it says they are fixed. They're set. They're stable. They're unmoving. They're established. In other words, if we fear God and delight in His Word, we will not be moved, no matter how grievous the circumstances, no matter how evil the tidings, no matter how bad the news is, it doesn't control us. The outside pressures do not affect what's going on the inside when we fear the Lord and delight in His Word. I've built a lot of barbed wire fence throughout the course of my life. It's just the nature of what I've been involved with through my life. And I'm in the middle, actually, of a project of building fence right now. And the most important part of building a fence, a barbed wire fence, a livestock fence, is the corners. The braces that are at the end of each fence is what I'm saying. Now, today's terms, many people call them H braces, the old school guys, it's corners, okay? The corners of the fence are the heart of the fence. Everything, the quality of the fence, the life of the fence, all depends on the strength of the corners. Because when you tie five wires of a barbed wire and stretch them 300 or 400 yards, some cases further, you stretch them fiddle string tight. That's a lot of pressure being put on the corners. And it's long-term pressure. It's pressure that's there year after year. And the pressure fluctuates along the way. It gives and it takes. When the wire expands during the heat of the summer, and it contracts during the cool of the winter. And so the pressure fluctuates with the change of temperatures. So if those corners are not set right, if they are not fixed, as our text says here, they will move with the pressure of the fence. They'll be slightly pulled out of the ground. Maybe you've seen it along the way if you're driving through cow country or ranch country and you notice the fences. Sometimes you'll see a fence once in a while that just didn't have good corners, and those corners are pulled up out of the ground. Not completely, but pulled up enough that they're leaning. You notice that. Whoever built that fence didn't take the time or maybe didn't have the know-how to set the corners right. So the corners gave to the pressure. On the other hand, the right man builds the fence And he knows the importance of the strength of those corners, and he knows what he's doing. So he's going to invest his time. He's going to invest his effort to do it right. And so over the course of the years, even decades, because fences are there, that's one thing, sometimes they're there for a lifetime of a person. And when that happens over the years, the fence remains very strong. And no matter how great the pressure is on that corner, it's unmoved, it's fixed, it's set, because it was done right. Isn't that how you want your heart to be? To be done right. I certainly do. I want my heart to be done right. I want it to be fixed, as our text says here. I want it to be set. I want it to be unmovable. I want it to be such that when the pressures come, great pressure or little pressure, that I'm not moved. That can be done. We can have such a heart as that that's fixed. God's word would not speak of it if it were not possible for you and I to achieve it. But our hearts must be fixed on the right stuff. Notice the verse again in verse 7. It says, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. We all, at one time or another, will be blindsided by bad news. It may not be a national crisis like we're experiencing today. It may be a personal crisis. It may be a lost job or a bad health diagnosis or the loss of a loved one, or maybe the betrayal of a friend or financial failure, or you fill in the blanks. It may be anything. But a Christian, we know, is not exempt from this bad news. God does not promise us an easy life, but he does promise us his presence. He does promise us his unchanging love for us. And those are things that we can trust in. You see, trusting in people can turn out to be bad news. Trusting in money can end up bringing us evil tidings. Wait till you get your quarterly statement from American Funds, your IRA or your 401k or whatever. I mean, I'm not trying to be bleak, but wait till you get that quarterly statement. It's going to be bad tidings. We can't trust in money. Trusting in a job or a position that can end up being a very bad report. I could tell you a number of people that were laid off this last week, people that I know, people very close to me, that never dreamed they would be laid off. Thought they would be the last to be laid off, and some of them were the last to be laid off, but laid off nonetheless. If you trust in the government or political leaders, you better brace yourself, because there will be staggering disappointment. Being an American is a great privilege, and as great as that is, it doesn't protect us from being exposed to bad news. The only thing known to man that can never result in bad news is the Lord Jesus Christ. You never get any bad news from him. You never get any evil tidings from him. It's all good for our life. Meaning good circumstances? No. We live in a world of terrible circumstances, especially of late. But our Lord has not changed. It's all good news. Everything that comes from him is good news. So trust in him. Trust in his power. Trust in his wisdom. Trust in his word. Trust in his grace and mercy. Trust in his love. I'm going to be shorter today than I normally am, so let me just close with this. The story is told of a fire in a little town in Holland many years ago. It was before modern firefighting techniques had been developed, so it was a foregone conclusion that the house would just simply burn to the ground. So all the onlookers just stood back and they watched. In this particular case, storks had built a nest on the top of the house. And storks are known particularly for their affection for their young. So as the flames went up toward them, the storks attempted first to carry away their little ones, but that failed. The next thing they tried, the parents of the little storks tried flapping their wings up over the nest, trying as if they were trying to cool it down. And of course, that soon failed. So finally, as the flames grew nearer, both parents set themselves down over the nest and sheltered their young and died with them. Let me ask you this. Can God have any less affection for His children than a couple of storks towards their young? I think not. Come famine, come pestilence, come disease or death, God will not abandon His children. The story about the storks falls short as an analogy in that God, unlike the storks, cannot be defeated, cannot be destroyed. So when we find refuge under the wings of our Father, we're eternally secure. No matter what happens, the fires of life, the storms of life, we're eternally secure. God cannot die with us, but we cannot die without Him. You see, because we belong to Him through Jesus Christ. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. So answer this question for me in your minds. Is your heart fixed, trusting in the Lord? If so, no bad news, no evil tidings should make you afraid. You fear Him, you delight in His Word, you're good. I know we've seen some dark days, and I'm sad to say that we're likely to see darker days ahead. But like the corner post that's set in the ground and done right, if our life and our heart is done right through Jesus Christ, we won't be moved. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Let's pray. Father, we do put our faith in you. First of all, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our salvation is found through Him. We put our faith in Him for salvation. And then we put our faith in Him. We put our faith in the Holy Spirit. We put our faith in you, Father, to carry us through this life. No matter how short our life may be, no matter how evil the tidings may be, no matter how difficult the circumstances may be, we know we're secure in you and you'll never abandon us. Father, be blessed this morning as we worship and we bow our hearts and our minds towards you. Father, we normally have an altar call or an opportunity, an invitation for people to bow before you at an altar and seek you and praise you and maybe repent of sins or turn back to you or whatever the case is. And under the circumstances, we don't do that. But we do, Father, bow our hearts towards you. We recognize, Father, that our hope, our only hope is in you. Father, to hope in money would be disastrous. To hope in other human beings, as much as we love them and appreciate those that are around us, but we likely could be disappointed. Father, we can't hope in the government, appreciate what they're trying to do, but Father, they can't save us. Only you can carry us through this storm. We rejoice in that. And Father, I pray that you'll touch the hearts of those who are listening and give them comfort on this Lord's Day. It's your day all day long, Father. Let us get some rest, spend time with family. We've already had a time of worship. Let us spend your day the way it's supposed to be spent. And Father, for somebody that might be listening out there that has not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have the assurance of salvation, Father, that you would help them to recognize that today they can call upon Jesus, ask Him to come into their heart and forgive them of their sins and be saved. I pray that they'll do so. Father, bless your people. Bless America. Bless our president and those other powers that be. We're to pray for them, and we pray that you'll give them wisdom. Bless those poor folks in New York. Bless the healthcare workers across the nation. And Father, bless your church. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me give you a couple of thoughts before we dismiss. I'm overwhelmed and amazed at, shouldn't be, but at the strength of God's church and the generosity of God's people. Yesterday, as you know, I put out my mobile text alerts each day. I hope each one of you are getting them. I identified a lady that needed a refrigerator, an affordable refrigerator. She was willing to pay. I put out the mobile alert. Within 5 minutes, I had four refrigerators. And had to sent out a text so I didn't have to open an appliance store to get rid of all the refrigerators. And during the midst of sending out that, I had two more contact me saying, hey, I'll pitch in to buy one. Another one said, I'll go to Lubbock and get one. And so you're just overwhelmed. Your church is so strong. The giving is so faithful, and it's just amazing. We are able, requested some help for our Texas Boys Ranch. They're at full capacity. Their donations are down because of the difficult financial circumstances that people have today. And so you brought groceries. We're going to be able to give them a great amount of groceries. But best of all, we're going to be able to give them $1,700 because of your generosity and your giving. Keep up the good work. Let me just say this, mention a couple of people. Linda Pilant's daughter and son-in-law both have the coronavirus. I've communicated that to you. So far, so good. Linda's been exposed to them. Last Saturday was the last time she was exposed. She's yet to show any signs of having the virus. Your prayers are working. Keep praying for Linda. I'm sure she's really not out of the woods yet, but as each day passed by, it looks more promising that Linda won't get that virus. Rose McClure passed away. Most of you know that. We're going to do a service for her at graveside in Tahoka. I'm sure it'll be a limited numbers deal, but that's going to be next Saturday, the 11th. Roy Smith's mother passed away, not necessarily unexpectedly. Her health had been bad, but had a beautiful service at a graveside out in New Mexico, out in the middle of the country, and Roy and his family need our prayers. Rick Price's mother passed away back in Clarendon, so you need to pray for Rick. His mother was 93, I believe, so she had a long life, knew the Lord, but nonetheless, that's his mother, and he's lost her, okay? Easter services. We had entertained the idea and talked about perhaps having the opportunity to do a mobile service, a drive-up service, set up a trailer and preach and sing from the trailer and transmit that to people's radios. We have the capacity to do it, but I don't think they'll allow us to do it. The restrictions now today are going to probably prohibit us from doing that unless they loosen those restrictions sometime in the next week. It's not likely we'll be able to do that. So next Sunday, Easter, we will meet right here just the way we are, and we'll continue what we're doing. If you're not getting mobile text alerts, please text me. My number is 806-781-3976. I would love to get you on that list to receive the mobile text alerts. If you have a friend or a loved one that you would like to receive those, send their number. I'll add them to the list. It's grown exponentially. We started out with just our congregation here, the ones I had cell phones numbers of, just a little over 200. And that's not including any children. And then now it's grown over the course of 2 weeks to 240. So people are just adding. We like that, okay? We want to be able to minister to people as best we can. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching on TV. Share and or like us and share us on Facebook, and you're dismissed. Thank you, Jeff. Charlotte, for being here. Thank you, Sherry, for being here.